Did you know that dabbling with evil? Did you know that living like the world? Did you know that following your flesh is death in eternity? There is a physical death, and then there is a spiritual death. It's called the second death. And unless you repent, unless you turn from your ways, unless you open the Holy Scriptures and seek Jesus Christ, you have no hope of eternal life to come, neighbor. You have to turn away from all darkness and turn towards the light of Jesus Christ. You have to be willing to lose your life. You have to be willing to humble yourself. The Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. The Bible calls us to humility. What is meekness? Meekness means you're under the word of God. What is humility? You're humble before a holy God. That means you're willing to follow his word and his ways. That means you're willing to seek him in spirit and truth. That means that you receive what Christ has done. That you seek after goodness, truth, and righteousness. That's part of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Goodness, truth, and righteousness. But to dabble with evil, to toy with the things of the world, you will be judged and you will be sent away. Away from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. So we're loving our neighbor, we're loving God, we're lifting up the truth of the gospel. Jesus made the narrow way. Jesus talked about many, many parables about how you can find truth. Go read the New Testament and see the many warnings. Jesus actually described and warned about hell more than he described heaven. People wonder why we warn you about the wicked culture. Around Halloween time, it's even more wicked, but it's wicked nonetheless. Why is the culture wicked? Wicked means sin. Sin is a transgression against God's law. If you don't live in holiness, you're wicked and sinful and set for the judgment of God that's coming. If you live your life and neglect the salvation of Jesus Christ and neglect his word, you have no hope of eternal life to come, sir. You need to repent and lose your life in Jesus. We get a lot of Hail Satan's here. We get a lot of mockers down here. It took about 2 minutes of preaching before a lady got in my face and told us we were mean-spirited and evil. Scaring children, while 10 feet from us was a guy in a bloody werewolf costume scaring little kids. And worse, that's fun, but we're scaring people, telling them that Christ is coming in judgment. So we just see that all the time out here. And we are so thankful that we get a chance to go and preach the truth. Amen, Sister Amin?
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah. So we'll get back to lifting up Christ and warning you, if you're not seeking the kingdom of God today, you're walking in the kingdom of Satan. This is his realm. Halloween has many different meanings. Samhain, they claim that the evil occult worlds all come together at this time. There's blood sacrifices. There's witchcraft. There's New Ageism. All of this happens around this time. Yet American Christians will partake in this. American Christians will revel in their foolishness and their sin. But God's people go into the world to warn you to come out and do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap, neighbor. You're sowing to your flesh today. Tomorrow, it'll be Sunday football and Sunday church. You're still sowing to your flesh because nobody wants. God does not want any to perish, 2 Peter tells us. But he wants all to come to the knowledge of truth. Yep, God judged the world in a flood, and he's going to judge the world again one day. And unless you repent and seek him, you're going to be judged. It won't be by water next time. God's not going to judge the earth by water. He's coming to judge by fire. Go read 2 Thess 1. In flaming fire, he's coming to destroy all those that don't know God, don't obey the gospel, neighbor. Don't tempt a holy God. Don't walk in your ways. Don't walk in the culture's ways. The Bible says that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can know what is the perfect will of God. What is that transformed life? Well, it comes via the gospel, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection for the newness of life. And that's the avenue, that's the path by which we have access to eternal life, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's the good news, that he died for your sins and he rose again, being fully God, fully man. But guess what? There's an action. You have to add action to your life if you're going to apply that death, burial, and resurrection to your eternal soul. That action is repentance, to seek him by faith. And when God sees a willing vessel, repentance is changing your mind and your ways. When God sees a willing vessel, he'll give you the Holy Spirit of God. You have to have that to enter eternal life. But if you have the Holy Spirit of God and you dabble with the culture and wickedness and sin and flesh and worldliness, you have no hope of eternal life to come, neighbor. We just love you enough to tell you this glorious truth of Christ. Christ has made a narrow path. That means a straight path. That means narrow. And on it has many twists and turns, like Halloween, like pagan Christmas, Good Friday and Easter. Like living like the world and not living after the kingdom of God who created you to know you so that you can walk in his glorious ways. Not in the ways of the culture and the flesh, folks. You're set for the wrath of God. We don't want you to be set for the wrath of God today. Jesus is coming to destroy everything that's worldly and sinful and not of the Father. Where will you be unless you flee from all of the ways of the world, from everything of the flesh? Where will you be, neighbor? What will become of you on judgment day? What happens if you live a life that's selfish, stiff-necked, rebellious, and sinful, as Jesus made a way and cleansed the path for you? Jesus said, I came into the world to seek and save the lost. If you know you're lost and you know you're a sinner, it's not enough to believe on the sacrifice. The Bible says you must repent to the shed blood of Jesus and the resurrection. The Bible says you must flee all unrighteousness. If you dabble with sin and the occult, if you walk in your flesh, if you practice man-made religion, you are an enemy of God, neighbor. We don't want you to be an enemy of God. The wrath of God is coming for you. It's the most loving thing we can do to tell you. Put down the flesh. Put down the frivolity. Put down the foolishness. Put down the pride. Put down the vanity. Put down false religion. Put down Satan's culture, toying with death and demons and murderous ways, spells and witchcraft. Hollywood has designed it to deceive you. The culture has designed it to deceive you. The churches have designed it to deceive you. The pastors and the priests have designed it to deceive you. We don't want you to be deceived. We want you to be walking in the goodness, truth, and righteousness of Christ. There is no deception if you read the Holy Word of God. There is no deception if you seek the kingdom of God. Satan is a master deceiver. He's designed all these ways to ensnare you, to deceive you in your pride, in your vanity, in your occult ways, in your darkness, in your New Ageism, in your Hinduism, Buddhism, Evangelicalism, Roman Catholicism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, Anabaptist. Name the man-made flavor, and my Father will destroy it when he sends the Son. As the book of Revelation says, he's sending the Son to take back the kingdoms of the world. Right now, Satan owns these kingdoms of the world. But Christ is going to come, and Christ is going to vanquish this world. You're walking in Satan's kingdom. You want a gospel card, sir?
I'm a Christian.
But, sir, you can't dabble with Christian. We can't claim to be a Christian, sir, as you dabble with the culture and a satanic holiday.
Oh, no. Yeah, you can. We were told to assimilate.
No, you can't. Where does it tell you to assimilate?
Jeremiah.
Were you following the old covenant or the new?
I follow Jesus.
Yeah, and Jesus tells us in the new covenant to come out of the world. To come out of the world. If you don't come out of the world, you're an enemy of God. James 4:4.
Yeah, but we're supposed to be of the world.
No, we're in the world, not of the world. You have it exactly wrong.
I got it wrong.
You got it wrong. You've got to come out of the world, sir. And if you don't come out of the world, you're leading your family. There's a millstone waiting for your neck. And it'll be better for you if you had a millstone than if you lead children astray in the culture, Satan's ways, churchianity. You probably go to a Sunday church system and they tell you it's okay. You got an NBA shirt on. It's okay to be of the world, sir. You can't be of the world. 1 John 2:15.
Hey.
If you love the things of the world, the love of the Father's not in you, sir.
Yeah, but to preach anything other than love is opposite of
no,
Jesus.
Absolutely not. The
so
preaching
you can
is.
Have that back.
I'll take it back. The preaching is repentance.
You need to preach love.
Repentance. I am preaching love. When I preach and tell you to repent, that's the love of Jesus Christ. The man is saying that we don't preach love enough. When we preach Jesus Christ, we're preaching the love of God. Nowhere in the book of Acts, the most evangelistic book in the Bible, is the word loved you, sir. Nowhere is the word loved used in the book of Acts. The call is to repent. There's a man who loves the things of the world. He loves the occult. He loves the NBA. He loves his pride and vanity. But he doesn't love God enough to obey God in spirit and truth. This is the problem with the American culture. They want the love of God, and they think the love of God lets them live in sin and worldliness and wickedness. The love of God calls you out of the world, neighbors. The love of God calls you to cling to Jesus Christ. The love of God calls you to forsake your sin. Here's a fact that nobody wants to understand in American churchianity. The word love is used 200 times in the New Testament. About 93 times it tells us to love each other, brothers and sisters in the Lord. About 50 times, it tells us to love God. Then a bunch of various times, it tells Christ loved the Father loved the Son. Only 3 times does it talk about the love of God directly for the world. Why is that? Why is it only 3 times in the Bible that the love of God is directly mentioned? Because every time the Bible preaches Jesus Christ crucified, it is the love of God. It is the goodness of God. Every time you see the word Jesus Christ and the call to repentance, that is love. Your idea of love, American Christians, that you can live in sin and worldliness and be accepted by Christ, is foreign to the scriptures. You have to repent and seek after him in spirit and in truth.